Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Raptor Queens podcast, the first ever all-woman podcast covering the Toronto Raptors. My name is Sarah Khalil. I am here today with my other Queens of the North, Sonali Sharma and Essie Magic. Thank you all for tuning in. We are in the final weeks leading up to the resumption of the 2019-2020 NBA season. Starting to get really exciting. Lots of news coming out from Raptor practices. Norman Powell taking on a bit of a leadership role. We'll be talking about that. Chris Boucher coming back 15 pounds heavier. We've also got some analysis of Chris Boucher and the role that he's going to be playing in the rest of the season. Kendrick Perkins listed Pascal Siakam as a top 10 player, took some heat for it. We've got our takes on that as well. And of course, we've got Bubble Tea Time, OG Anunoby. He had a birthday. Masai Ujiri took us on a video tour of Raptorsville. We'll go through that. And then finally, for our Around the League segment, we're going to talk about some of the other teams, the player they've lost, and which team we think are going to be most impacted by either injuries or coronavirus related reasons for not playing. And so that's what we have on our agenda today. Thank you everyone again for tuning in. Let's dive right into it. So there have been some reports this week of Norman Powell being kind of the bench lineup leadership guy in practice and really making sure that all of the bench players from Rondé to Terrence to Patrick McCaw, everybody really get up in the face of all of the starters and make it really, really difficult for them to do their jobs, which is great. I mean, this is what you want your bench to be doing with your starting lineup going into the players, going into the playoffs, just making sure everything is really intense and getting your starters ready for the intensity that they're going to be facing in regular season games and playoff games as well. So that's been really interesting to hear that Norman Powell has taken on that responsibility of leading the bench to do that. And ladies, I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on Norman Powell in this role?
So yeah, I mean, Sarah, like, I don't know if you guys recall, like, but I think it was probably around, like, just in the beginning of the new year, there was a bunch of articles around the relationship between TD2 and Norman Powell, and just the kind of mentorship role that Norman has had and the influence that he's had on TD and how TD was going to be kind of like, you know, turn into this sort of dynamic duo with Norman. And so having been on, I think he's been with the Raptors for 5 years now, Norman?
I think that's right. I'd have to check, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, seeing his, just the improvements that we've seen over this last season, I mean, he has come up so much. So, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear this, and it definitely, I don't see any surprises. I think Norman is definitely a leader, Normie, as Masai calls him. So yeah, that's about all I have to say about this. I mean, we the Norm, I think you guys are pretty clear. I'm pretty clear on what my position on Norman has been in this last season, so.
Yeah, me too. Just generally really impressed with the way that he's, I don't know, stepped up this year in all respects. So that's cool. Essie, anything to add?
So yeah, there's nothing he said that really surprises me. I mean, he's been being a leader all season from what I hear. And so I feel like, yeah, this is just another thing to add to the list of his development and how he's trying to establish himself as a top player on our team. And I think he's going to keep pushing. I think he eventually wants to be a starter, and he's going to keep doing what he can to show that he's a veteran and that he's ready to take that next step.
Oh, I don't know if you ladies heard, but Norm was also recognized on Sports Illustrated Most Underrated Players list earlier this week. And specifically what they said was Powell is more than a solid third guard. He's a key to Toronto's finals hopes.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. He is the reigning Eastern Conference Player of the Week and has been for months now. So that's good news. Anyway, oh, go ahead, Essie.
Yeah, I was just going to add that it's interesting because I was talking about Danny Green with somebody, and we were talking about how it turned out to be for the best for Danny Green to leave, because that's part of the reason that Norm has been able to get more minutes is because of the fact that, you know, Danny Green, who was a starter, you know, left. So, you know, him, TD2, it turned out to be kind of a blessing in disguise to have Danny Green leave, as much as we all like him. Yeah, just a little tidbit I was talking about the other day, and I thought that I would mention that, that how that all worked out in the end.
The trade that changed it all. I think that trade happened like today or yesterday when we got Kawhi.
Oh, yeah. So coincidentally, it's also the the 2-year anniversary of when Kawhi and Danny were traded to Toronto. Both only stayed for one season and both have been replaced. I'm just joking. That sounds... I'm just being my usual, you know, controversial self. That's not what I mean. But anyway.
Yeah. It's a good point to the bench unit has had ample opportunity this season to step up, get some experience, and prove themselves because of all the injuries, which is a nice segue to the next part thing we wanted to talk about, which is Chris Boucher. So had Marc Gasol not been injured for the majority of the season, Chris Boucher would not have seen the minutes that he has. He's been very surprising, and I think surprising not just to fans but also to other players, because he's very tall, he's very skinny, and somehow manages to disrupt the other teams despite the fact that other bigs can really physically push him over. He's got no problem going up two-handed blocks. So he plays the pick and roll with Kyle Lowry really effectively. And, you know, was a key part of the Raptors' 30-point comeback against the Dallas Mavericks. So he's really started to show his potential and shine in a certain way. But of course, the question was just, man, this guy's really underweight for his position. So he's come back into the bubble 15 pounds heavier. So good for him. He's packing on some extra pounds, making himself a little bulkier, getting stronger. And the question I want to pose to both of you is, now that Mark is healthy and we got Serge healthy, both apparently playing at the top of their game, near the top of their game in practices so far, and Serge we saw throughout the regular season playing fantastic, is there space for Chris Boucher on the roster for the last few games of the regular season and going into the playoffs? What role do you think Chris Boucher is going to be playing with the team for the remainder of the season? Sonali, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean, Chris Boucher, yeah, he's put on 15 pounds. He's bulked up. I think he recognizes as well, too, as you said, the sort of flailing around and the falling all over the court that he does because he is so slim duck. But from like a logical standpoint, I was thinking about this because I think I was sort of trapped in that whole mindset of like, we have all of our star players, you know, Mark and Serge are going to be out there. So what's the need for Chris? But then I think that maybe what Nick is thinking about with Chris is that he's sort of like an insurance policy that like if either one or both of Serge and Mark get into any kind of foul trouble, then, you know, Boucher can step up. And I think all of this improvement in his physique and his body and hopefully ultimately in his game when we see him out there, if we do, I think we will see him out there. I think he's sort of that insurance policy, I think.
Yeah, I saw this, there's two things. So first thing being, of course, he's not going to get major starter minutes. Of course not. This is the playoffs, and there's a lot of experience that Mark and Serge both have that he just doesn't have. And I don't think we're going to see a ton of Chris Boucher minutes. But I did think it's just interesting about, I saw this quote from Nick about playing around with the idea of a jumbo lineup, which would include one of either Kyle or Fred, so just one small guard, along with OG, Pascal, Serge, and Mark. And so obviously that's a huge and really long lineup. And he Nurse said he was really impressed with the defense of that lineup, and that it was unlikely for, or it's not normal for a lineup that's big to be able to guard so well and with the speed that they can. So that's interesting. And then in thinking about the idea of a big lineup, if you wanted to keep that lineup big and you were subbing out one of Mark or Serge, in theory, you would put in Chris Boucher, or I guess you could put in Rondae Hollis-Jefferson as well in that lineup if you wanted to keep it big. Anyway, just some thoughts. Essie, what are you thinking?
So if I go by last playoffs, I don't see Chris Boucher getting any playing time at all. And unfortunately for him, like kind of like what Sonali said, he is a bit of an insurance policy. But we have seen, just literally if you go by last playoffs, we don't need him like in the playoffs to play. Like we can get away with just Mark and Serge playing. So I don't see why, I honestly don't see why he would get any playing time at all, unfortunately. From an emotional standpoint, I would love to see him get some playing time, but realistically speaking, I don't see him getting that. But I will say, and also too, speaking of the big lineup that you mentioned, that was also rarely seen as well. So if Nick Nurse has rarely played that in the past, I don't see him suddenly, unless he's desperate or things are going wrong, suddenly deciding to make that a major option in the playoffs. So that would have been one of his few ways to get more time, or if somebody gets injured. So unfortunately, I don't see him getting much playing time. However, I will say that this is a great opportunity for him to show what he can do moving into the offseason, considering that the general consensus is that based on the salary requests from Serge and Mark, who knows, anyway, that could change with the way the season played out. But if it's anything close to what we thought they would expect salary-wise, and we would be losing one, this is a great opportunity for him to show himself and show that he could potentially move into a backup center role or big man role, because they tend to go between the 5 and 4 a lot now these days. But that it's an opportunity for him to show that he could be a good backup big man in the event that we lose one of Serge or Mark. So I think this is still a great opportunity for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I guess at the very least, when if you stick at this season, what you want is for him to be playing better than he ever has, so that he can be challenging the starters in practice, as we were mentioning earlier. So
yeah, and he is also a free agent too. That's something to mention. So he's got something to prove.
Yeah. Well, I think all the Raptors play like they have something to prove.
No, they don't.
Okay. So let's move on to our next topic then, which is Kendrick Perkins. So Kendrick Perkins was on The Jump with Rachel Nichols and Tracy McGrady, and they were discussing their top 10 lists for this season. And in no particular order, this is the list that Kendrick Perkins put out: LeBron James, Giannis, James Harden, Luka Doncic, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, and rounding out the top 10, Pascal Siakam from the Toronto Raptors. Now, he took a lot of heat for this take, for including Pascal on his list. Many articles written about how nobody thinks Pascal Siakam is a top 10 player except Kendrick Perkins. And yeah, so it was a spicy take, if you will. And we're going to break that down. Essie, why don't you go first on this one? What are your thoughts about including Pascal Siakam in a top 10 list?
Oh my gosh. So I hate to say this because I should be biased as a Raptors fan and just automatically agree with him, but I don't, which might not be a surprise to some of the listeners. Unfortunately, I just don't think Pascal is there yet. He's not a top 10 player in the league. I think that players like Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum should have been ahead of him in Kendrick Perkins' list. I just think that Siakam has not proven that he's a superstar. And when I think top 10, I think superstar. And by superstar, I mean a player who can, you know, be clutch, can take over games in the end, somebody that, you know, is almost unstoppable in some scenarios. And with Pascal, we've seen several times over and over again that he struggles against good teams. Superstar players can still play well against good teams, and he struggles. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Most of his stats where he played well were against, you know, lower performing teams or, you know, eighth seeds or something like that. So I just don't think he's part of it. He's part of that top 10. I do, you know, commend Kendrick Perkins for being bold. He's always been a big Raptors supporter, so I love that about him. He's one of my favorite people to watch and listen to, but I think he's wrong on this one.
Okay. Sonali, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important to, I just wanted to read out what Kendrick actually said, because it's interesting to unpack his statement as well, too. So he said, Spicy P is a top 10 player in the league. I said this before the season started, and I say it now. This guy may not be the prettiest. He's not Kevin Durant, but he gets the job done. He got mid-range. He got post-up. He's athletic. He's long. He runs the floor like a deer, and he's becoming a better knockdown three-point shooter, and he's the leader of the team. Nick Nurse has full confidence in him. Kyle Lowry has taken a backseat to Pascal, and they're letting him do this thing, and he haven't disappointed this year. I think the sky's the limit for Spicy P, and he's a top 10 player right now. So that's exactly what Kendrick Perkins said. And I have to agree with Essie that, you know, Kendrick is also like one of my favorite people, and it is really nice to see the Raptors love that he has. But I think I have to agree with you, Essie. I don't think that, to be honest, I was kind of surprised to see him on that list. I agree that, you know, he's on his way, but I think one of the things that you kind of pointed out, sort of notionally, and I'll just kind of say, is that I think the turnaround for Pascal, like, things happened so quickly for him, like, after Kawhi left. And I mean, he's been doing fine without the claw, but I don't know if you guys remember that game. Well, you do remember that game, the February 25th game against Milwaukee, where I think he got 22 points, but he could not, like, Giannis was on him. And so I think without the sort of mid-range, his sort of game improvement, and sort of changing up his predictability factor, I think that when other players are defending him from these big teams like Milwaukee, people know that he's a bit hesitant with his shooting. I mean, he's getting better at it, but he really has to become a better mid-range shooter. And it would definitely add some spice, and not to mention like unpredictability, which would make it harder to defend him. And that's where I want to see him go. And I think until he gets to that point, yeah, I don't agree with him being on that top 10 list.
Okay. So a couple things I want to add. I don't think I disagree, because I'm gonna be honest. I actually don't want him to be on the top 10 list yet. And the reason I don't want him to be on the top 10 list is I feel like it would be almost a disservice to how much more potential growth there is for him. Like, I look at some of these people on the list and I'm like, yeah, they're like the top of their game. And this is, they're established, they're superstars. They've done this. They've been at the top of the league for years. And I think Pascal has that potential in him. And by putting him on the list too early, it kind of robs the emotional impact of when he actually belongs on that list. So my take is like, no, leave him off, like give him more incentive to keep improving. And I don't think he reads a list of top 10 players by Kendrick Perkins and then decides his game plan and career plan and his growth plan based on that. But like, I just don't think it's the right time to put him on. It's just there's so much more growth available to him. And the other thing I want to add is, yeah, I think that, you know, being on the Raptors team this year hasn't, like, it's actually such a beautiful transition year for him. Kawhi leaves. Yes, he's growing into the superstar and is being groomed for that role, but he didn't have to be every single night, because the team itself and Nick Nurse with his coaching schemes defensively and offensively and the various lineups and the creativity, they give him a cushion. They give him cushions to have bad games and learn, and even against better teams, have space to not have to beat every single good team in the regular season and still maintain a high playoff seeding position. So he has space to learn. So that's what I think. Like, I wouldn't put him on the top 10 either. Only because like I said, first of all, because I think there's so much potential, but also I don't think he needed to be a top 10 player this year. And so he wasn't. That's all.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, we have Kyle Lowry, who has been able to bail him out a lot, to be honest with you. You know, I consider Kyle Lowry to be more clutch than Pascal Siakam, and it showed in a lot of fourth quarters when Pascal was, you know, driving and missing or not getting the call, and then, you know, we hear the signature, he's like, ah, and there's like that awkward moment of not getting the call, or just like, ah, and then fortunately Kyle Lowry will do something that bails him out, you know. So I think having someone like Kyle Lowry has really helped to aid in that transition as well, where it's like, if he doesn't do what a superstar should do, you know, we can depend on someone like a Kyle. But, you know, moving forward, we know that Kyle might only be with the Raptors for like, in terms of the level he's playing at, for maybe one more year, two maximum, I think. So that gives Pascal some time to still establish himself. And he did peak at a later time in his career, because he started basketball much later than most kids. So in that regard, he's obviously done really, really well. And he still has some time to grow and improve. I also want to agree with what Sonali said about the mid-range shot, or being able to pull up and shoot. To me, that's like the biggest difference between a superstar and an all-star. The superstars can literally just like get the ball in the last second, pull up from somewhere and pull something off. So I haven't seen him do that yet. And not even in a last second moment, but just in general, you don't see him do very many mid-range shots. So, and it is the lowest percentage shot in the game for a reason, because it's the hardest, right?
Exactly.
So that just clearly shows the difference between the top players. The ones who can do that, they're the top for a reason. And just getting stronger with his finishing in the paint, I think would be good. One of the things that I really liked about Kawhi Leonard last year, and just in general, because he's still like that now, is just how strong he is when he drives into the paint. And I'll never forget that one incident last year where he went up for a layup and what's his name got in the way? Oh, from the Warriors, Kevon Looney decided to jump right in the way and fell so hard that he hurt his shoulder. Do you guys remember that? His shoulder like slammed on the ground. And to me, that just completely in one play described how powerful Kawhi Leonard is in the paint. And also just how many and ones he gets, because it's like, no matter what you do, even when you foul him, he's still gonna make the layup. He's still gonna finish a lot of the time. And so things like that, the mid-range, it's like, that's where we wanna see Pascal get better. If he does, then I think he's on his way. If he doesn't, then he'll always stay in this sort of all-star stage.
All right. Sounds like generally a consensus on our podcast for the top 10 list. So Kendrick, we love you, but we don't agree in this particular instance. but thanks for standing, Spicy P. That's great. all right. So I'm going to turn it over to Sonali for some bubble tea. Take it away.
Yeah, so tea this week, what do we have to spill? One of the big headliners from the bubble this past weekend was that OG Anunoby turned 23 on Friday.
Happy birthday.
Yes. And there were some very cute videos that were posted by both the Raptors and some former teammates, i.e. Danny Green, who posted an Instagram video with Ratchet Happy Birthday playing in the background and a little reunion with both players in their masks. So that was fun to watch. And then we got to see OG being serenaded by Terrence Davis II, and doesn't seem very impressed with TD2's voice, which I'm sure, ladies, if you watch this video, you would understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
like, he turned around, they were on the bus, the team bus, and yeah. Terrence Davis is filming from the back of the bus. And, like, honestly, at the beginning, I was like, what is that noise? And I was like, oh, he's singing. But it was really hard to know what's happening. And OG just turns around and gives him, like, a death glare. Like, he was so unhappy with what was happening on the bus. It was great.
Unfortunately, Terrence Davis II, he doesn't have the best, like, talking voice in general. Like, I think I love his enthusiasm, and I love how, like, you know, excited he is to be a Raptor and everything he says, but unfortunately that's like his one like downfall in terms of like
his voice,
in terms of like social media and like branding and stuff, is his talking voice isn't the greatest, but I do love his enthusiasm and his courage to sing.
Yeah, and then just a reminder of like OG, because we talk a lot about OG's personality and whether he's like, who is the real OG Anunoby? And so it's really funny to watch him in these situations, because he does have this, like, just, you know, he has, like, a very straight-faced sense of humor, I think. He's just very, like, deadpan.
Yeah. But then he has these sudden moments where he'll, like, dance in a video.
Or he'll, like, break out in, like, laughter. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I do want to add about Danny Green, though. Like, I love how in this bubble, like, players from opposite teams or other teams can, like, hang out. You know what I mean? Like, I find that kind of cool, which they would never be able to do under normal circumstances during the season.
It's true. It's like they're at summer camp.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, other sort of news. So Masai Ujiri gave us a little tour of Raptorsville, the floor where the Raptors are staying and all their hotel rooms and that sort of thing. And so we got a little tour of it. Everything is covered in Raptor swag, and you know, they've got their own little personal mail room. It's it is like summer camp. It's pretty fun to watch, to see what the living conditions are for these guys. And I know there's been a lot of conversations around that, but they seem to be adjusting well. And so hopefully we see more sort of content from the bubble so we can get the inside scoop. I mean, there won't be any tunnel fashion, but maybe they can have like hallway fashion.
You know what was kind of funny was I was hoping that, like, when he was giving the tour, I was hoping he would show his room, because I wanted to see if he was living it up a bit more than the players.
I know, I was also thinking that too.
But then he, like, cut it off just in time. I was like, oh, I see you, Masai. I see you. But yeah, it's been cool to see all these, like, behind the scenes videos. I'm honestly living for all this behind the scenes content, like, in the bubble. I think it's so cool. And also too, not even just the Raptors players, like, I've been watching JaVale McGee's vlogs and Matisse Thybulle. Like, they've like put a lot of effort. Like, they're actually carrying around their professional vlogging cameras around the campus and like filming for their YouTube channels, which I just admire so much. I think that's so cool that they're dedicated like that and providing really good content. So I've been loving both of their vlogs and all this like behind the scenes stuff, like even about the food, and like even Dwight Howard's been providing some really good content. He did like a whole imitation like session of Shannon Sharpe, which was so funny. I don't know if you guys saw him. his impression of Shannon Sharpe, spot on. It was so good. He also did an impression of Chris Tucker in there. So this content that they, because they're bored, it's just been amazing. I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
And there might be some more Masai Ujiri content in particular, because the video title of the last of the Raptorsville one was Bubble Life with Masai Ujiri Volume 1.
That's right.
Kind of
so volume two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Surge's How Bored Are You weekly episode. I don't know. Maybe we'll get something from Asai, which would be really interesting.
You know what was so funny too? Was remember when that first video came out that showed the floor with all the Raptors decorations on the floor? Everyone was like roasting the video so hard. Meanwhile, it was just Terrence Davis on Snapchat. Like, give him a break. He's not a professional videographer. Like, everyone was just like roasting it, being like, I'm getting vertigo. Oh, this is making me dizzy. All this stuff. It's like, gosh, it's just a Snapchat video.
The vertigo comment was mine. That was specifically me.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't just you though. I saw on Twitter two other people where yours stuck out. But yeah, it was. There was like a lot of people saying that, and I was just like,
it's "Way to call! Perfect. Way to call Sarah's trolling out."
But yeah, I thought that was so funny. Everyone was making such a big deal. I think who else said something? There were a couple. Adam from South of the Six. Yeah, he made a comment about it too, and I was like, that's Terrence Davis. And
yeah, he was like, oh, was this filmed during an earthquake?
Yeah, he said that. And it was like,
I thought it was funny.
Or was it, he says a comment about the Blair Witch Project or something.
Oh, yeah.
The Blair Witch Project, so. Right. Shout out to the South of the Six pod. But yeah, I just thought that was really funny how everyone was roasting. And you know what's funny too is his Snapchat account is new. So he like just started on Snapchat and everyone's like,
Poor guy.
I know. He's just trying to establish his brand, got a new agent now. He wants to, you know, do his merch and all that, like Freddie. And here he is creating Vertigo videos. So...
But there has been like an increase in like the level of social media engagement from the players. Cause there was a while where a lot of them were sort of just like felt like they dropped off the face of the planet. But even like Chris Boucher, he doesn't post as much, but lately I've been seeing lots of posts coming out of his, like just even his IG story, like it's always lighting up on my news feed. So it's been interesting. Oh, also we never mentioned this, but did you guys see that photo of Norman Powell fishing?
Yeah, I saw a video.
So that it's just been like they really are like on summer vacation, like summer camp.
Yeah, unfortunately, Norman Powell apparently his fishing is garbage, though he didn't catch anything. So
yeah,
he's got some work to do, but I admire his willingness to try.
Yeah, and his face whilst he was doing it. The facial expressions on Norman are quite funny too.
Yeah, sometimes he actually has that kind of deadpan thing sometimes too. But then he'll bust out into a dance. So he's got that also.
Yeah, so I think that's about all the tea that we have today.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Sonali. Delicious.
How do you guys like your tea? Real talk.
Real tea?
Yeah, real tea.
Whispered. I'm just kidding. I like I just like milk in tea.
Yeah, that's I just take a little bit of like oat milk.
Okay. I guess you guys are like me. I thought I was the only like boring person with tea because I'm like so traditional. I like my tea with milk and sugar and almond milk, not regular milk.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the West Coast coming out. But yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm a boring tea drinker.
Coffee with cream only. No sugar for me.
No sugar. Yeah. I actually don't drink coffee, so I'm missing out. But I used to drink coffee, so I know what you're talking about. Cream makes a big difference in coffee.
Oh, really? I won't have coffee with milk. I won't. I refuse. Anyway, moving on. let's talk about basketball again. That's interesting stuff. All right. So our last segment for today is our Around the League segment. And Essie, I'm going to let you start us off on this one. Go ahead.
Yeah, so around the league, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of players who are unfortunately having to leave the bubble or still haven't arrived in the bubble. And so today we wanted to talk about, you know, which team is going to be at the biggest disadvantage with the current situation going on. We have Zion from the Pelicans, who unfortunately had to leave for family reasons. And so we want to talk about how that's going to influence the Pelicans. We have Rondo, who got injured. He had a fracture in his finger and has to have surgery. Will be out 6 to 8 weeks. So we want to know how the Lakers will adapt, considering they are already lost Avery Bradley, and they're still missing Markieff Morris. Then there's Montrezl Harrell, who also had to leave for family reasons. And so we want to talk about if the Clippers are going to be at a disadvantage. And then we also have Russell Westbrook, who unfortunately has the coronavirus, so he hasn't even arrived in camp still. And we want to talk about if, you know, that'll be a disadvantage for the Houston Rockets. So yeah, a lot of things going on with player personnel. So out of all those four scenarios, which team do you guys think is going to be at the biggest disadvantage with the missing their player? Let's start with Sarah.
Okay. One thing to note is really interesting from the list that you talked about anyway, is the impact on the Western Conference teams. I think the only team in the East that's been kind of hit this hard might be Brooklyn. But I think we're all writing off Brooklyn anyway, right?
So yeah, that's why I didn't include them. It's like once you lose like three players, it's like
So for me, it's a toss-up between the Pelicans losing Zion and the Lakers with three players. So I think I'm gonna land with the Pelicans with respect to the impact on their playoff race and whether they'll make the playoffs at all. Now I kind of go back and forth on this, because even if they do make the playoffs, I don't think that they'd be going particularly far. But there's no question that Zion is a key part of their team. He scores 23 points a game with them. Their offense is built around him. He's their guy. So I don't know if he's going to be able to come back. I'm not sure the extent of the family emergency, but that's where I'm landing. And then my second is with the Lakers and how deep they'll be able to go into the playoffs, missing some of their key rotation players.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, as you were talking, Sarah, so like initially, like for me, I did say the Pelicans, just because, you know, they're 3.5 games behind Memphis. If they have any chance, like, they have to have Zion. And also just kind of feel really sad because he's missed so many games. And I was really excited to see him play during this this bubble round. But in terms of the second sort of pick, I think, I don't know, like, I want to agree with you and say the Lakers, because I think missing, you know, both Rondo and Morris are sort of veteran players. I guess what this would mean is that LeBron will have to play more at a point guard, and then he'll have, like, I guess as his backup, Alex Caruso. But with Rondo, I mean, he's only, like, what, he plays 20 minutes a game, but I think what his sort of reach in terms of being a veteran and being a championship player, like, he would be really good in terms of strategizing. And I think so this, what this would mean is there's lots of pressure on LeBron James. So that's huge. But having said that, I honestly think that losing Westbrook is going to be a huge loss to Houston. I mean, he's had a season high in terms of the number of points that he's been racking. He's sort of proven that he's not a second fiddle to James Harden. And the team has sort of become centered around his offense. And so, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, there was that huge sort of road win just before the pandemic where they won against the Lakers, the Rockets, and Russell Westbrook scored, what was it, like 41 points? And I mean, I guess with Rajon Rondo out, you don't have to worry about him defending. But in any event, I honestly think that losing Westbrook is like a colossal loss for Houston. So that's sort of my take.
Yeah, so I do agree with you. I think that between Zion and Westbrook, those would be my top two biggest concerns in terms of how it affects the team. Just to clarify so you guys understand at home, so how it works is if you leave the bubble due to a, you know, a family reason or a pre-agreed upon reason, you have a minimum 4-day quarantine if you are tested every single day that you are outside the bubble. So if the NBA and the Pelicans want him to get back sooner, be able to play sooner, I imagine they are testing him every day while he's out, and all those tests have to come negative. If he's not tested every day that he's out of the bubble, it becomes between 10 days to 14 days, minimum 10 days, maximum 14 days, that he will have to quarantine upon arrival. And so because the Pelicans are not a team that is already set for the playoffs, they're trying to just get in, him leaving could affect the games they need to, you know, get into a playoff spot or at least lock in the play-in tournament with the eighth seed. So I'd say that's a really big deal. And also too, they are, I believe, 17 and 27 without Zion Williamson playing. When he does play, they are just above 500 at 10-9, I think. So he makes a big difference on their team. He's at 24 points per game, or 23 point something points per game, 50% from the field, at just under 7 rebounds. So I think that him not playing, it's like night and day on that team. And so their playoff hopes can be dashed if he's not there. When it comes to the Lakers, you know what? I wasn't concerned. I wouldn't be as concerned, I should say, if Avery Bradley wasn't already out. I think because now that Avery Bradley is out too, was already, he just didn't come because for personal reasons. I think that makes it a little bit more like, it's getting a bit, you know, worrisome, but they do have a lot of guards. They did sign J.R. Smith. They have Alex Caruso, who will step in and play more. They signed Deion Waiters as well. There's Quinn Cook, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was playing his best basketball prior to the break. So I do think they do have a lot of backups. It's just, we don't know yet who's going to be the one to step up and help, because things were already rough when LeBron James sits down, because he is such a big playmaker. He is their primary playmaker on their team. So things were already a little bit, you know, worrisome when he would sit on the bench and rest. So it's kind of like, well, now who, because Rondo would be the one who would come off the bench and take some of those, eat up some of those minutes. So it's kind of, it's just a matter of waiting and seeing exactly what they're going to do, but not knowing makes it a little more worrisome than it probably is. So with that being said, I would go to, yeah, Westbrook. Not if he, if for some reason he doesn't come back at all, which I think he will come back, because he, what I've heard is that he's not really having very much symptoms, but if for some reason he didn't come back at all, that would be it for the Rockets. Like, their chances would be dashed. I mean, he averages 27 points per game. He started playing really well after they made that midseason trade. He is showing that, yeah, he's not just a Robin. He could be a number one player on a team, which we already knew, but playing alongside James Harden, it was hard to see how things were going to be at the time, but he's shown just how valuable he is. So I think they need him to come back. So yeah, with that being said, who else is left? Montrezl Harrell on the Clippers. So because the Clippers are so deep, I think they'll be okay. And I'm assuming he's going to come back at some point. And even with Rondo, it's 6 to 8 weeks out. So he could end up coming back sometime in the, sometime in the semifinals or end of the semifinals leading up to the Western Conference Finals. So he could end up coming back. So yeah, I think Russell Westbrook and Zion are, like, them two being out would be the most impactful. Any other thoughts?
I guess just for players leaving for family emergencies and whatever, just their just thoughts, sending good thoughts their way. I know for Montrezl Harrell, he posted just an emotional message. I'm not built for this. I can't stop crying. I think it is related to his grandma. So just for all the players who are dealing with loss or whatever's going on, just reminder that they're human and sorry that you're going through it. That's all.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you can never predict what's going to happen, right? You have to be ready for anything, both sides, as the players and as the league, right? So, yeah, I think whatever's going on with their families is obviously more important in the long term. Obviously, as fans, we want them to come back and play. But ultimately, you know, we hope that things are going okay first at home. And there's going to be other games that we can watch regardless. It's actually kind of ironic because wasn't Zion our first game of the season? Remember the NBA scheduled our first game of the season to be against Zion too. And that was supposed to be the big debut of Zion versus the Raptors. And then they also, again, that was supposed to be the big game for Zion. That's the first game on the first night, them versus the Jazz, alongside the Clippers-Lakers game. So it's interesting how that happened twice.
He hasn't had the best of luck, has he?
No.
But I also think, the other thing that will be interesting to see is just to see the coaches and how their coaching comes through, because these are the moments where you have to show versatility as a coach. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Vogel will do and what the other coaches will do with their teams.
Oh, and that raises a really good point, because the NBA just announced that all the season awards are going to be based on pre-bubble.
That's right.
So Nick Nurse will look like he's going to be I think he's a lock to get coach of the year.
Hundo.
If it's based on, even if it was based on after too, I think the most controversial part of it though is LeBron fans are pretty pissed because they felt like the MVP talks were really heating up between LeBron and Giannis right before things cut off. And if he had those final games of the season, who knows what he would have done. He might have cemented his place as getting the MVP award in his 17th season. So I think that's a bit of a bummer that we won't get to. I mean, it's pretty much a lock to be Giannis, I think, at this point.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not that I don't like Giannis, because I do like him also, but I wanted LeBron to get it in his 17th season.
I don't know if it's a lock. I can still see a world where LeBron wins it.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how many people want him to?
Well,
it's down to that, right?
I don't know. I think prior to, like, because, you know, the Lakers were playing so – they were really, like, you know how teams build up and then getting towards that playoffs, they're, like, their top form. The Lakers had really reached their top form before things got postponed. And so I think, like, I don't know. I guess it all depends on how much that surge they had at the end there, if that impacts, you know, people voting for LeBron. But I don't know, I still think Giannis is going to get it, because he was the leading voice. Like, everyone was saying Giannis for the first 3 months of the season. He was the number one pick almost the whole season up until, you know, LeBron started having that surge with the Lakers. I mean, LeBron was always in the discussion, but he wasn't the primary for most of the season. Most of the season it was Giannis, I would say.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for leading that part of the discussion, Essie. That wraps up our podcast for today. Oh, only two more weeks, we're going to be recording our podcast with the Raptors having played a game. We're very excited, looking forward to seeing basketball again. It's great. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Reminder, you can tell your friends, follow at Raptor Queens, Twitter, Buzzsprout, Apple, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, and iHeartRadio. Absolutely wonderful to have all of you with us. And
I would like to build some anticipation with the audience that we will be bringing back our King of the North and Court Jester of the Week segments. Now that they're back. Woohoo! I'm so excited. I missed those segments. And a lot of our viewers loved those segments too. So now that we're going to have games back, we're going to be able to give our players our player choices, and it's gonna be it's on.
Oh, I'm so excited. And so to all of our listeners, whether you've been with us since the break started or if you've joined us during this time, like, thanks so much for tuning in and loving the Raptors even when they aren't playing the same way we do. That's awesome. that's it. And we'll talk to you all next week. And stay Raptors fans. Thanks.
Bye. Be the North.